We've got a great show for you this week, albeit a bit of a sad one to round the year off. We've got three of our finest journalists leaving the newsroom. Michael Young, our education reporter, Alex Wood, our senior reporter, and Bethan Evans, our content editor. It's a sad time, but exciting, very exciting for them. And we're going to be talking to them a bit about what they've got in store in their futures. So up first, we're going to talk to two of them, Michael Young and Bethan Evans, together.
So Christian and I are going to put it out there.
Are you really?
Yeah, we are.
A bit late.
Are you going to
put
it?
Whoa.
It's Christmas in like 2 minutes.
For anyone, if Chris manages to keep this into the podcast, there is a... There are parts of a fake Christmas tree, artificial Christmas tree in the room.
With snow spray.
Yeah, which Bethan can't keep her hands off.
No. Oh,
put
the
tree down.
Sorry.
Put the brunch down.
Yeah. Okay, hello.
Hello.
Hola.
How are we both doing?
Very well.
We're good.
Let me introduce you firstly. So my name is Bronwyn Weatherby. I'm your host for the podcast today. And I'm sat here with Michael Young.
Hello.
Our education reporter. And Bethan Evans, our Hello. Lead content editor. I think that's your title.
It is indeed.
The head.
La boss.
La boss, yeah. And it's a bittersweet episode today. Because I'm actually talking to you both because you're leaving.
Yeah.
Mm. We'll also be talking to Alex Wood later. He is also leaving, but he can't be here right now because he's getting his hair cut.
Priorities. This will be in his evaluation.
Yes. His final evaluation.
Yeah.
So it's a really exciting time, actually, being, you know, a colleague and I like to think a friend to both of you.
Indeed.
You mm-hmm. are both going off to some amazing jobs, well-deserved jobs as well. Mm-hmm. To kick it off, Yongyi, do you want to explain where you're going?
I'm going back to Singapore and I'm going to be working for an international English news channel over in Asia. I'll be deputy editor there. And so a lot of it's just looking at copy, also deciding what sort of stories we're going to cover, and hopefully guiding quite a few reporters along.
You know how many reporters there
are. Yeah, we have a lot of reporters in a region and internationally. So it's just a case of coordinating everyone and saying these are the stories that are important and also how we tell them. Because I think international news sometimes gets away with just reporting and just using wire copy or, you know, doing just the bare basics when we could be so much more. And hopefully in a few years' time, obviously I need to get the grips with the job and everything, that will happen.
Excellent. So what you're essentially doing is you're going to be coordinating dozens of reporters across Asia.
It's
right?
Not just Asia, no.
Across the world.
Yeah. No pressure, Yongyi.
Yeah, no, exactly. How are you feeling about that challenge?
I'm feeling really nervous because Chris is taking a picture of me now. I am excited about it because I've gone on news desk before, and but you know, it is obviously stepping up into a much sort of bigger scale. And at the same time, going back home. I grew up in Singapore, and so it is always going to be both a challenge and, you know, really exciting time for me. Everything I've learned in Britain, I've been here 10 and a half years now. Everything I've learned here, you know, hopefully I can put into the new job. But yeah.
Of course, knowing you and knowing how much you love reporting, I know it's been a big decision to actually step away from the actually reporting side of it. What do you think, you know, you can bring to the editing side of it?
Well, let's see. I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure on myself. That's the truth. I've never put pressure on myself as a reporter. As much as I love it, I have hopefully done some good stories. And whenever I look back on it, I always think, you know, journalism can make a difference. And so hopefully that's the same when I become an editor. I want to let my journalists who will be working with me on certain projects or subjects know that they can make a difference in what they do. And sometimes it feels like when you're doing international reporting, that might not be the case. But I'll tell them to you know, forget that for a minute and think about just what you're working on and how that's going to affect the people there, because then it will then affect other people as well. And so, you know, stop thinking big picture all the time and actually think, this is the community we want to talk about. This is what's important to them. And actually other people will be interested as well. So
amazing.
I know.
Okay, so there's possibly other journalists or aspiring journalists listening to this and might really like the sound of that job and that title. Mm. And you've obviously worked in journalism, I'm going to say over a decade.
No.
It's nearly a decade, surely.
I've been doing, including training, in university, yes, about a decade, yeah.
Okay. What sort of advice would you give to someone wanting to sort of aim to that level of job and that kind of job that you have now, that you're going to?
I would say don't aim for it. I would say do what you believe is right. And always do, and always as a journalist, just write what you believe is right. Don't write what is necessarily popular. Don't write what is necessarily what you necessarily think people want to read, and that comes with a caveat by itself. But always write what you think is right, and always do what you think is right, because eventually people are going to come around and people are going to say, actually, what you think is right, I believe in as well. And then you've gained a really good reader there. And, you know, everyone's got to build up their own readership. We've got some outstanding journalists at Bristol Live, yourself included, Bron. And who've built up, you know, a real sort of readership. And think about those people. They're more important than the readers who might read you twice or three times in a year. You know, you want people to be able to read everything you write because they believe you and they trust you.
So I guess what you're saying is make sure you're doing what you believe in and do it well, and that will sort of get you where you need to be eventually.
I think so. I wouldn't say I'm where I want to be, but yeah.
Where do you want to be?
Where I want to be? I actually really want to teach in the future at some point.
Journalism?
I want to train journalists, but I'm very well aware I'm still quite young. I need a lot more experience before I get to that stage, so yeah.
Well, knowing you, I think that one day you'll make a very inspiring journalism teacher. Nice. So thanks for talking to me about your future.
Yeah, go to Bethany. She's got one.
I'll turn my head to this lovely lady on my right. Mm-hmm. So, Bethan Evans.
Hello.
Hello. Can you explain to me a bit about where you're heading off to?
Yeah, so I'm actually not heading that far away. I'm just up the road. I'm going to BBC Bristol to work on their news desk there and work with the reporters on their website.
Excellent. So, in terms of what you do now, how will that change? If it changes at all, really.
I don't think it's going to change massively. I mean, it might when I get there, I don't know. But I think it's going to be a lot of what I'm doing now in terms of editing copy and working with reporters and working with our digital editor and the other teams as well, and what we're going to be looking at, the issues in Bristol, main stories, what we need to focus on, and maybe a bit of social media, but I'm not too sure. I'll find that out hopefully when I join.
So how do you feel about leaving the Bristol Live newsroom? How do you feel about leaving me?
I do feel really sad because I've made some really great friends here and working with such extraordinarily talented people like yourself, Michael Young, Tristan, Alex Wood, some of our new reporters as well, Sarah, the people on Breaking Live like Brianna and Zosha, and I'm afraid I haven't mentioned every single person, but all of them honestly are just absolutely fantastic. We've got reporters here that can turn their hand to any story and that they can make really difficult and uncomfortable stories palatable and get those really important issues that some people would perhaps never touch out there into readers, which I think is really important.
Yeah. I think I can speak for everyone on the team when we say that you are someone that we trust sort of implicitly with our stories, which I think is, for me, part of what makes a good editor and what I like in an editor. What would you say makes, you know, a good editor?
I think someone who is meticulous, someone who is tough but fair, someone that can establish a really good relationship with the reporters so that there is that trust there as well. I think that is incredibly important. In terms of like workloads as well, where a reporter will, especially with some of the new reporters, they've come up to me and said, like, am I okay to talk to you about stories that I'm trying to work on but won't be expected in 5 minutes? And I want reporters always to have that breathing space to give a story the attention that it needs and not feel like they need to really bash something out, something that goes in depth, because I think that's something that Bristol Live does really well. It really focuses on important issues and getting the full story out there, not necessarily just putting out dribs and drabs.
Yeah. You were obviously, you know, where all editors come from, really, a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you miss the most, and what do you like most about being an editor? What are the plus sides?
I do miss writing, absolutely. I think it was quite a difficult transition for me when I went over to a content editor position where I kept pitching ideas for stories and they were like, no, you're not supposed to be doing that anymore. So that was a difficult transition. Things that I spotted and I thought, oh, I'd love to interview that person, or I'd love to get that story. Because I always loved going out, trying to get interviews from people that wouldn't necessarily talk initially, and being able to present that story and sharing a story that maybe they thought no one would be interested in, and shining a light on their lives. In terms of editing, sorry, what was the question?
What are the plus sides? Because a lot of people go
listening is important.
A lot of people go into journalism, myself and obviously you two included, to write and to do that reporting. So you know, it's interesting, you know, when people transfer over to editing.
Oh, and you make that progression.
Yeah. What do you think the plus sides are?
I think definitely having a bit more responsibility and a say in how stories are presented or what stories are done. And I think for me it's probably like that trust factor, and I'm still working with reporters on that story. Yes, I might not be writing them or going out and getting those interviews, but it's still being part of the process, which is massive value to me.
What do you think you'll miss most about this particular newsroom?
The people.
Yeah. The people.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a fantastic place to like learn and grow and progress in terms of like news desking, etc. But yeah, without a doubt, the people.
And you, Yongi, you know, you can't say the same thing, so you're gonna have to come up with something else.
I will miss the journalists here. I've worked with.
That's saying the same thing.
I've worked with outstanding young journalists, and when I first came here, some incredibly experienced journalists that I've learned from, you know, some of whom are just absolutely incredible writers. I remember when I first came to the Bristol Post, we had a human features writer called Tom Morris, and I remember I used to love reading his features. They were so well written. And then we had David Clancy, again, an awesome writer.
Oh, his features are incredible.
Yes, and he wrote something about what is essentially an excavation at a church, and he wrote 1,500 words, and I read every single one of them and thought, this is incredible. And so I'm definitely going to miss reading really incredible and great copy, I'm definitely going to miss writing stories, as Bethan would tell you. It's a very difficult transition, especially when, you know, sometimes I've got to cover some of the subjects I've got to cover: homelessness, death in prison, or very not necessarily cheery stuff, but important stuff. I think it's difficult to give that up, and yeah, so I'll miss that massively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine. And obviously Bethan's staying here in Bristol. So hopefully we'll get to see her from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But you're also leaving Bristol.
I am, yeah.
How do you feel about that, and what will you
miss? That breaks my heart. Bristol's my home, and I'll always consider it my home. I am quite lucky that I have travelled to many, many different cities around the world. I remember stepping in San Francisco 2 years back and thinking, I love the city. One day I want to live in San Francisco. And then on the way back from San Francisco, I thought the only reason I want to stay in San Francisco is because it reminds me of Bristol. And so then I knew that the city that I was truly in love with was Bristol. And I'm not saying it because this is a Bristol podcast, but it is actually the city that I'm just absolutely smitten and in love with and still am. I think leaving Bristol would be really, really difficult. It's not like I can visit at any time. Every summer, I love to stay in Bristol. I never think, oh, summer's time to get away. I always want to stay in Bristol. I enjoy everything about it. Yeah, I truly do. All its good and bad things. But yeah.
Well, we certainly hope that you return, and I'll say again, we're going to very, very much miss you both. So thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, ended that one with a bit of a tear in my eye. Sounds like they've got a very exciting future ahead of them. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Bethan, for that. Up next, we've got Alex Wood, and he's just been for a haircut, so he's looking rather dapper. For those who don't know, Alex is the master of preparation, and I have hurried him into the podcast room, which is a closet. Don't think it's anything fancy. Yes, it's a studio where producer Chris gets changed every morning from his bike gear.
Is that what the smell is?
But now you're panicking, aren't you? Because you haven't had time to prep for this.
I've got zero idea what's coming.
I mean, I feel like it's your fault a little bit. I mean, you went to get your hair cut beforehand, and your quaff is more important, clearly.
Quaff? Do you mean quiff?
No, quaff. You quaff your hair.
I've never heard of the word quaff.
Well,
not in that context.
I mean, it's self-descriptive for you, I think.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Anyway. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
For anyone who doesn't know, but I'm sure they do if they listen to this podcast regularly, you're quite often a host of it. We're speaking to Alex Wood, and he's going to be on the podcast for the very last time today.
This is it.
Am
As
I right?
Michael Jackson once said.
Yeah. And very many other people.
Most other people.
Am I right in saying that tomorrow is your last day?
Yes. Yeah, this is it. For me and Bristol Live.
And no, we're still going to be here.
No, for me and for Bristol Live.
Oh, your relationship.
My relationship with the website, with the paper.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm going to miss it massively. Definitely the people. Yeah. And you, obviously. And
obviously.
Chris and everyone else that works here. Because I think, well, a lot of people read our stuff and listen to our stuff. But obviously they never really get to see the inner workings of the newsroom as much as we hope this podcast gives them a little insight.
Yeah.
You don't get to see, I suppose, all the things that go into just every day in a newsroom. In the
everyday
Bristol
stresses, long hours.
Yeah, and trust me, when you're in it, it's like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. This is a hellish scenario. But a bit of you always comes home, I hope, I like to think anyway, proud of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of grind, I imagine it will be very similar where I'm going, but I'll miss that, I think.
I think there should be an importance placed on who you're sat next to.
I like how you're looking around. Like,
yeah, you know where I'm going with this. The people next to you are the ones you speak to most often in
the
office. Have you got anything to say about the people you sit next to?
I mean, Tristan's great. I love sitting next to Tristan. And I think I'm opposite Sarah.
Oh, you're breaking
one of the,
my heart.
One of the new reporters. Oh, and obviously, yeah, I'd sit next to you on the right and on the right-hand side. Good little bubble we're in there, I think. Good little space. We get a good mix of the watch tones.
And what about the people that sit behind you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I'm usually glad I can't see them, Chris, so.
Scathing. Very fortunately, we had a reshuffle recently, didn't we, with the seating?
And, yes, we did.
Very lucky, obviously, you didn't move, Bronwyn.
Obviously.
Or Tristan. But yeah, Chris, you came and sat over our end of the room, and what a wonderful addition you've been to that corner in the last few months.
Thank you very much.
I just hope I'm not part of the reason why you're leaving, Alex.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to get into it, but...
Well, if there's, you know, on anything, we should get into it now. You know, this is our last opportunity. Say what you need to say.
Get off my chest, is that what you're saying? No, there's... you guys are who I'm going to miss most. In fact, if anything, you guys were the reason that I didn't want to leave, you know, the newsroom. So I hope I've turned that conveniently round from
absolutely
on a stumbling block.
He's not talking about you, Chris.
Collectively, so I'm going to be very democratic here.
Just in case the audience think I hate Chris, I love Chris. Okay. And let's get that out
there. There's
no
bad feelings towards Chris. Video Chris, podcast Chris.
On a serious note, though, I'm not surprised that, despite, you know, your love for this newsroom and the people in it, that you're going, because what you've got ahead of you is a really exciting opportunity. Do you want to describe what you're going to be doing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of what it's going to be like, but I'll be joining ITV West Country. So sort of one of our competitors, I suppose, in Bristol. They are based in the city, so I'm not leaving Bristol, which is the main thing. But yeah, we're joining them in the new year as a production journalist, which is a role that I have only sort of heard of in terms of its description and what it's really going to entail. It's probably going to be slightly different to how I've imagined it, but it's kind of a bit behind the scenes and you know, a bit of filming, editing, doing stuff online, doing stuff for the program. So kind of cross, you know, different roles within making news for ITV. It's kind of how I think it's going to be. It's probably going to be very different, but really excited.
Is it with a sort of plan eventually to maybe go in front of the camera?
Maybe. I don't know. In all honesty, I maybe that might be an avenue that comes of it.
Well, I mean, the reason why I ask is because I think, you know, I'm assuming here, but I think that maybe, you know, the reason, some of the reason why you maybe were chosen for the role is because actually, despite us being a sort of online news website and traditionally not a broadcaster, we do use a lot of video, and you've had the opportunity at Bristol Live and in your previous job at the Plymouth Herald.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
To sort of get in front of the camera, yeah, so to speak, and do Facebook Lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually really excel at that. Can you...
I
would say no. You do very much excel at that. And do you want to describe how you came to sort of enjoy that kind of video aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think broadcast has always been a direction I wanted to go to at some point in my career as a journalist or in the media. And obviously we are digital first, previously, well, still paper-based, and we do have a paper product. But so traditionally video wasn't our thing, but we've obviously made huge strides in the last few years. Video is now probably one of the most important parts of how we tell stories, especially online. And I've always kind of been drawn to that side of what we do. And I think that probably comes back to this sort of long-term ambition to explore broadcast and either behind the camera or in front of, just do basically everything I can to work with video. And that's, fortunately, I've come into print digital at a time where video's really taken off. And so they, you know, from day one, they've always been looking at reporters who are happy to either work in stories where we're getting interviews, you know, that are being filmed, or we're getting the interviewee to tell their story to the camera, or even doing Facebook Lives, like you say. So it's never like, it wasn't like I came into working for the Herald or for Bristol with a, I want to be doing video. It was more a case of broadcast was already there, and they were saying to me, you know, we want to encourage everyone to make use of the equipment we've got and the editing and everything else. And something I've really enjoyed.
And I think, you know, a lot of journalists in your position, in my position, you know, they do that from time to time, but you've been quite good in making sure that you've utilized that whenever you can, which means you've got this like fantastic showreel of Facebook Lives and various videos. What would you say, what's like the most memorable thing you've done so far in front of the camera? I promise you I wouldn't ask you a question like this, but now I have.
I've had the pleasure of doing lots of different things. And that's actually, I imagine we all do as reporters, because this job, as we all know, is varied, to say the least.
Yeah, and a huge variety.
You know, half of the things that feature in either my showreel or in my portfolio are things that I had no idea I'd ever report on. And it just came in and then you're sent out. I've done some weird things, like back in Plymouth, we did a story when freshers came back to uni. And residents in sort of what is now a student area in Plymouth were getting a bit angsty about the noise. And there was a lot of noise complaints. So we went out on a student night, and myself and the video editor there. And he the idea was to go out and talk to students who were on a night out, and to ask them whether they think they're being too loud and whether they would consider keeping it down if they
drunk students broadcast gold.
Well, as you can imagine, we'd actually seen it done by another company, another broadcaster, a few years previous. But I know that you get some really quality response. I knew we would get some funny interactions, and we did. We were up till like 2 a.m. doing that, and the student bus from like one club to the next was a particular highlight of mine when we were doing that, singing along to, I can't remember what the song was, but it was just as weird as you could get, if you could imagine.
Yeah.
But that was
that sounds
good.
Really fun. Yeah.
And then, in Bristol, how many protests have we done?
Yeah, so many.
And covered, and some have really taken off. I did one, I didn't do a Facebook Live, but we did film it, which was the Extinction Rebellion group.
Yes, I remember
who
that.
Who recently, well, they've done a few things actually now in Bristol, but I think it was in October, they marched, walked from the Bear Pit to the Magistrates Court, and then spray painted over the entrance. And
wow.
Yeah, it was during a weekday as well when the court was open. So, and the court, if you don't visit there often, have their own sort of security team inside. And I said to these guys beforehand, you know, just double check what the plan was. And they said, yeah, we're going to spray paint it. And I said, you do realise it's going to provoke a reaction from the security inside. It's not like some member of staff is going to see it.
No, it's not like a council building or something like
that.
No,
I said, there's going to be a reaction. And they were like, yeah, you know, that's fine. And, you know, if that's their decision, that was their decision. As a reporter, you're there, I suppose, to report on events. So I'm stood there filming, and it well and truly kicked off big time. And we actually did, a fair few stories on it, which, if you've not seen it, obviously head to the website.
always plugging your stories.
Oh, yeah, of course. A little bristollive.co.uk, you know.
Well, now it'll be ITV, of course. What's the thing that you're most looking forward to for working for that company?
I think just a new challenge, new year, new challenge, new me.
New year, new me.
Yeah, just I think a different. I've got obviously a few colleagues that have also made this type of move, and a couple of friends who also work for the same company, and you know they've had nothing but good words to say. And it's, I think for anyone coming from papers, you know, we're trained in a certain way, and obviously for broadcasters they're trained in a certain way. And I'm looking forward to the challenge of actually kind of throwing myself into there. World,
yeah,
because you know stories that work for us obviously may not work for them in the same way, and vice versa. So it's going to be, like I say, a challenge, but I'm looking forward to getting into that, basically.
Absolutely. And we're going for a drink tomorrow night as
yes.
well to celebrate
yeah,
you
yeah.
leaving us. I can't tell you how sad I am. I may have shed a little bit of a tear when you first told us. You sent an email to us whilst you were in court, so you didn't have to be there whilst we read it.
It was convenient. Yeah. It was ideal.
I was flabbergasted, to say the least.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing your work and, you know, sort of tracking your future. So
yeah, and vice versa.
Yeah,
I'm
so
not
good luck.
Let you guys go.
Yeah. But
thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Alex.
And thank you for putting up with me. Sat next to me.
No problem. Thanks, Alex. You're very much going to be missed. Looking forward to that drink on Friday when we'll celebrate everything that you've got in front of you. Definitely a bright future ahead. That's all we've got time for this week. I hope you're with me in wishing all three of the guys best of luck in the future. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. If you want to get in touch, please follow us on @IBLpodcast on Twitter, or you can follow me, your host today, @BronWeatherby. To you, our dear listeners, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we will see you again in January.